Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, folks. It is Thursday, October 30th. Another beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's feeling really, really nice outside for certain. It's going to get a little chilly, and it looks like it's going to be a little chilly for the trick-or-treaters tomorrow evening as well. And just remind everybody to be careful. Kids will be running around through the streets, and just slow it down a little bit tomorrow. You don't need to be in a rush to go anywhere. We've got a great show lined up for you today. Rafael Goyeneche, President of Metropolitan Crime Commission. We will talk about the Judiciary Commission, the Supreme Court. New Orleans ranks last now in the safest cities in America. And we'll talk about the consent decree and other issues as well. GNO Inc. with Michael Heck. We'll talk a lot about what's going on here in the city, and we have a special guest on the back half of that hour as well. And J.P. Morrell is going to be joining us at 10:30. He has introduced a number of pieces of guardrail legislation on the proposed $125 million revenue bonds that they were hoping to be able to have that happen with the bond commission. As of right now, they've pulled it down because of some of the conditions that were placed on that. We'll try to get to the bottom of it as it relates to that. You just heard the Attorney General Liz Murrell talking about her position relative to this issue with the Fiscal Review Committee, and that there would be a judge involved and the like. But again, we are now getting more curveballs that are thrown this way, more hurdles to get over, some potential pitfalls to evaluate to gain a better understanding as to whether or not this is something that we desire to go down or not relative to the State Bond Commission approval and the conditions of having this State Fiscal Review Committee involved and evaluating the plan that's being put forward, because there are some concerns there. Some believe that this is state overreach. Others believe that this is in their main lane of travel relative to their obligations under state law, of what they know and what they have learned. And these are all downstream implications of sloppiness, ineptitude, not keeping all the parties informed. We know that this mayor, LaToya Cantrell, has had a very laissez-faire attitude. Obviously, she's not come to the forefront at all in this, has she? She's not really defending much of what went on. We have the CAO who left and is now working for Audubon Zoo. You don't hear him saying a whole lot about much of anything, do you? I mean, if I could tell you, if it were me, I'd be, if there's something to defend, I would be defending it because it's my reputation in there. But the truth be told, this goes back many administrations. This is not new culture that's been developed inside of the city. We know that to be true. We've seen it before. I was going through news articles going back to the Nagin administration. This is not something that just rose to the forefront and was a new fire-breathing dragon, so to speak, and we're all getting scorched. No, we've been there before, and we're still paying the ills of bad decisions. I mean, just let's look at the freeze on the hiring of police and what it did in the Landrieu administration. I mean, I don't know why who in their wildest dreams thought that that was a good thing to do. They didn't understand the difficulties of hiring people, specifically law enforcement. It's the most complex hire that you're going to make in the city administration because of the amount of training that's required by state law. And then the additional training you want to do to protect yourself from constitutional deprivation cases that you may ultimately end up having to pay out. But these are the silly things that has silly consequences when you involve yourself with silly policies. So it's not new, which just makes this a lot harder to overcome. It's not insurmountable. It can be dealt with appropriately. And there's no quick fix. So 18 months from today, we're going to be talking about a lot of these same things. Because your revenue stream is your revenue stream. Your expenditure picture is your picture today. That can be moved in a lot quicker fashion, with some exceptions, than your revenue stream, than improving revenue. Unless fundamentally on the collection side, there's something that's totally way out of whack. I do believe that there are things there that can be improved upon. Engaging, using lock boxes, using all kinds of technology out there to get your money in the bank even faster. Don't let idle cash sit around not earning interest, even though we're not in high interest climate right now. But every penny or dollar that you get for free is one less dollar that you have to figure out that you need to go raise in order to provide city services. All of these things have to be brought to the forefront. That we are not doing at the present time. And we engaged in practices of plugging numbers and budgets. That's not new for the city. That's not new for this administration. And it's not new for previous administrations. Because it's a way, you know, to try and get this by without the media noticing it, without those asking questions of it, without a lot of people getting probative about it, so you don't have to answer it, and it looks like you've balanced your budget, in theory. But you also know that you are deflecting, denying, evading the truth, right? And not being completely and totally transparent. We heard what the Attorney General said, this is 3 years of deficit spending. So it's a problem. I don't know if that's a fact. It looks like it could be close. Because part of the problem is we've got all of these dollars going back to 2021 when they worked out their deal with the FEMA relative to the JIRR and getting payments in advance. That $90 million that everybody was talking about earlier, that's not what they are owed as a result of putting the money out and looking for reimbursement. Joe Threat said the other day that number is about $50 million. The most recent reporting has been that that number is somewhere between $30 and $50 million because they may have received a payment. Now, either you did or you didn't. I don't know. But maybe they just hadn't accounted for it yet. So we have a lot of numbers that are floating around. I don't know that we've got them all in the appropriate categories, or do we have them in the appropriate columns right now? And in many cases, I think we're speaking we think that we're talking about the same thing, and maybe we're not as it relates to this issue. Now, to complicate the issue even more, this loan would be taken out under the Cantrell administration, which is going to come to an end on my birthday. Not to beat a dead horse, January 11th, big party on that day. And It can't come fast enough. I'll sacrifice. I usually don't like my birthday to come up that fast. It can come up lightning fast this year. Because the sooner that this administration is out, the faster that we can get doing business, in my view, that's going to be meaningful. You know, and it's unfortunate that we don't have a mayor who's actually clued in, because if she was clued in and if she did give a damn and if she wasn't under indictment and if she wasn't distracted and now they're stepping in the way of her, what was once an amorous relationship, maybe not so amorous anymore. I'm not sure. I don't care. I don't give a damn. But it's all like a three-ring circus freak show running on the side there. Now, none of this makes the bond commission, the members of the bond commission, obviously the governor, the AG, or anybody else feeling any better about all of this. I mean, let's call it for what it is. It's really not about Helena Moreno. I think if it was only about Helena Moreno, this deal would have been confected already, in my view. Because I can't think of anything that she's done other than the appropriate thing, like calling the legislative auditor in over the objections of folks in the administration and others, saying that was not a good look. And she said, I don't care if it's a good look. It's a necessary look. It's got to be done. We got to do it now. We're trying to make decisions based on information that we cannot trust. So I give her kudos. I think if it was only about Helena Moreno, this deal is done. We borrow the money, we get it done, we move on. But it's not. Because what everyone realizes that understands finances is you have things embedded in these financial statements that are not necessarily understandable. People don't know what numbers are plugged. We're trying to figure out exactly where we are. And when you have a system set up where you cannot determine an otherwise easily determinable number, typically where there's smoke, there's fire, and it's hard to criticize people to say, y'all have a fiscal mess, right? So it's all time for us to collectively look in the mirror critically and understand where the shortcomings are and understand where this has to go. I would be looking for a third party to come down here, experts in turning around city government, municipal governments. It's been done before. We've seen it happen. Change artists that can come down and have new eyes, new looks. There's nothing magical about here. I mean, they got a couple of granular policies of, you know, how you have to deal with these civil service employees, if you're going to engage in a RIF, and if you got to get rid of folks, you know, the non-exempt employees, the exempt employees, a different set of rules to rid yourself of their cost and this, that, and otherwise. You know, that's such low-hanging fruit. It's almost de minimis and it's meaningless to even spend a lot of time talking about it. It's the bigger issues here of, you know, right-sizing this organization, elimination of WIPs, works in process. How many times do we touch a piece of paper? Do we need to touch it that many times? Is there technology that we can deploy fairly easily so that we don't have all of these, hurdles where people have to get over, where we're trying to get from point A to point B, moving the paper along so we can get it into the hand of the customer, the consumer, so that they can go about doing their business, getting it done, creating new tax dollar collection opportunities for us, new wallets coming into town every day wanting to spend their money. We should be encouraging that. We should be making it as easy as possible. You know, the one thing that was interesting about the mayor's report the other day is that they seem to recognize with the nightlife, there are a bunch of impediments to being able to do business in a meaningful way, in the right way, in an effective way, and in an efficient way to go about creating sales that leads to sales tax collections, revenue for the city. These are the things that we need to be figuring them out sooner rather than later. Because we have a problem. Right now we know that we got four more payrolls, right? So the immediate crisis, if we want to keep all 5,000 employees gainfully employed between now and the first of the year, is that we have to find $88 million in cash. $88 million. I think they can do it. I think it's there. I think there's dollars hidden away. There's cash hidden away in there that we, and dollars that we're owed that we should be able to get in the short term. And the beauty of the $88 million, it's not all due this Friday. We have 8 weeks to the last pay period to try and pull together $88 million. That might be a better exercise to try and figure out how to do that at this juncture than to go borrow $125 million. Because we know that we would be in the hole $125 million, and we also know that we probably wouldn't be looking at this budget as tight as we're looking at it with a laser focus to see what can people live without. Now, this has to be hard cash. These are not cuts. Cuts don't necessarily lead to hard cash in some programs. Employees actually would, because it would knock that $88 million down that we got to go find. But the problem that we have now is this administration's not going to lay anybody off. They're not looking to really help this proposition. They have a lot of people that are employed in the executive department of this organization. They're going to hang on till December 31st or, you know, the first of the year. And the thing is that the first of the year, that's not really the deal for the city of New Orleans, because their property tax bills are not due until the end of January. So, you know, for everybody else in the state, it's December 31st to get the payment in. You send it to mortgage companies. They like to get that behind them. They have these funds escrowed. Then these funds don't belong to them. They're acting as the fiduciary. They like to send that check right away, right when they get the bill. Some certain, they send a check. Electronic transfers. It would be really nice if we could start getting some property tax bills out in December. Maybe the first couple of weeks of December. That never happened. Maybe it's something that needs to happen. You know, get it out there. Give people the opportunity to pay early. Some will, some won't. But the ones that will are helping your cash flow problem. But every one of these things has to be looked at. But the confidence of third parties when they're looking from afar, and I think Councilman Morrell said it right, is that your reputation and what you do actually matters. And I know that we'll talk about these guardrail pieces of legislation that he's putting forward, and hopefully some of these will end up in a charter amendment, and that way we're not going to be suffering from what the ills of many administrations ago participated in. I mean, and that's the sad reality here. I mean, a lot of these practices, they're not new. They've been around forever. Remember what I said about political leaders not wanting to consume political capital. Unless there's a crisis, they're not going to. They're not compelled to. They're not compelled to make the tough decisions of right-sizing organizations and having an impact on people's lives, because that's a negative, adverse action that they're very uncomfortable with. Their comfort level is giving people things, not taking things away. But we're not the beneficiary of this largesse. We don't have it. And if we spent more time studying the budget, studying the financial statements of our organization, gaining a better understanding of what we can do and what we can't do, it's a lot easier to manage the expectations of the public who are constantly coming to you, wanting you to fund this grant, fund that thing, provide police for this function, provide police for that function, put up no money, expect the city to be able to pay for all of this. Sometimes in an overtime basis, the city can't afford it. Look, all of these fairs, festivals, and everybody else are going to be in for a rude awakening. You bring a pair of fresh eyes down here that have dealt with this in other cities, and they're going to, I promise you, I know, I've been parts of these conversations. They're going to say, somebody's got to pay the man. You can't do this for free. You don't have enough money in your budget to be the security person for every fair, festival, that every living creature, everything that went on. And on top of that, do Mardi Gras. And on top of that, do Sugar Bowl. And on top of that, do other major concerts and things of that nature. You don't have it in your budget to do it. There's going to have to be a re-engineering of the revenue streams here from those organizations that have to pay more. Maybe they don't pay at all, but they got to pay more. Because the numbers are just not there. Because the flip side is, as you would be asking your elected officials to go out on a tax election with a tax proposition to fund and finance 10 or 12 or 15 fairs and festivals. I would suspect the public's going to say, no, not doing it. So it behooves all of these organizations to come to the table, if asked, to try and work something out. To try and do that. Got a lot of texts here. Can Gail Benson extend a loan to the city? No. This municipalities, state agencies, and others, they have to go through the bond commission. You just can't be running to any loan institution to borrow money like that. It has to be approved by the bond commission. And so it doesn't work that way. And that's in order to protect the interests of the taxpaying citizens of the state of Louisiana. And it's necessary, quite frankly. I mean, if you think about some of these smaller jurisdictions are spending money, you know, for on strippers, on this, on that, you know, we've had story after story after story, indictment after indictment after indictment, arrest after arrest after arrest, and guilties running across the state of Louisiana, and with idiots who are taking their hard-earned taxpayer dollars that the taxpayers are providing and spending it on frivolous items of their life because they're knuckleheads. They believe that they're entitled to do this. So somehow or another, they became the center of the universe and they can do whatever they want. And then the best way for them to get out of it is go borrow money. Well, no, you're not just allowed to do that for good reason. All right, when we come back, we will visit with J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council member at large. He's the president of the council at the present time. We'll talk about these guardrail pieces of legislation that's going to be, I think, up before the council today, if my memory serves me correct.
We'll listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Be right back. Welcome back, folks. We are joined by J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council member at large, and he's also the president of the council at the present time. J.P., welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bill.
So, J.P., it seems as though there's some decisions that seem to have been made where the city is abandoning the request for the $125 million loan and being presented before the State Bond Commission, which I think was going to take place today. Tell us about that thought process.
Well, the council was working directly with the legislative auditor to come up with a series of pieces of legislation to give complete fiscal control of the $125 million of funds into a specific account that would require additional level of transparency and oversight by the legislative auditor. And we were working in good faith with the auditor who chairs the committee, which Liz Murrell was on. And we thought that we had an agreement to pass these ordinances during a special council meeting, show up with the ordinances and all the resolutions, and make our presentation to the fiscal advisory committee. What we found out after we passed all the ordinances is that the attorney general had made up her mind, so to speak, that it didn't matter what we did, it was fiscal administrator or bust. And once we were made aware that one of the three people on the committee did not care what we did and had decided that that was her hill to die on, we decided that it was not in the city's best interest to expose us to the possibility of a complete state takeover of city government to get that $125 million of proceeds. Now, to be clear, Newell, I know you've already covered this. There is no state skin in the game on this $125 million bonds. It is purely a ministerial duty for the bond commission to say, city, you can take out these bonds, which you have to repay yourself with no state interaction. The state's not on the hook for the bonds. It is simply a ministerial check mark that they do regularly for cities across the state. But it is not worth putting our sovereignty as a city on the line to get a $125 million loan the state has no stake in that our taxpayers have to repay anyway. It's just the risk wasn't worth the possibility of a state takeover.
Well, do we really know what the duration is? And is that an item that also is can be negotiated?
We were told by individuals in the conversations with the attorney general that specifically she said indeterminate amount of time. But the challenge is, Noel, and you see it in Bugalusa, it's not reasonable. The point is, once you install the administrator, the committee that the attorney general Murrell sits on, they decide when the administrator leaves. So even if they tell you it'll be 2 months, 3 months, that's really kind of just to appease you. Once that super powerful fiscal administrator gets in, you cannot dislodge him unless they choose to let him go. And I want to be very clear, Clancy DuBose had a great explanation on your sister station, WWL. That administrator is not an accountant. They have a plenary powers over the entire city of New Orleans. They can do whatever the hell they want. The charter doesn't apply to them. All your elected officials, including the new mayor and new council who were elected pretty overwhelmingly, we all get pushed to the side, and I'll give you an example. In our charter, we have a tremendous amount of restrictions for zoning and the like in the Vieux Carré. If Amazon decides to put a service center in the Vieux Carré and the fiscal management individual believes that's going to generate revenue to help the city of New Orleans and that's going to generate immediately, they can disregard whatever laws are on the books and do whatever the hell they want. Full stop.
So we've made this decision. We're not going to go down this path at this juncture. Obviously, the other day, Joe Threat said that their bi-monthly payroll is about $22 million. So you're looking at four payrolls. You're looking at $88 million. Do you think you can find the $88 million inside of this budget in cash available right now?
That is the conversations that we're having today and we've had since yesterday, which is that if we stop paying vendors, if we cut all programming, if we do nothing else but make sure that people who are employees are made whole, we are hopeful that we can eke through the end of the year to when the new budget kicks in. And I want to be clear, because I don't want to also just be doom and gloom. I want to give a shout out to President Cameron Henry, who is still trying to get all of us back in the room next week to have a follow-up conversation to see if there is any room potentially to revisit this issue. I do think that we were having direct conversations with the legislative auditor and not everybody who's on the bond commission about all the different measures we passed yesterday. Because I want to be very clear, what we passed yesterday was a tremendous give for the city. The money that is our money that will be responsible to be repaid by our citizens, we were putting into a separate account that was to be overseen by the legislative auditor. And every disbursement from that account had to go get approval from the auditor and be done via council instrument each time a expenditure was made. So we made tremendous concessions in an effort to try and get everybody on the same page, because we do believe that there is certainly a lot of room with the current administration. I think there's a lot of expectation for extra transparency as this administration leaves, and we're not opposed to that. But at the same token, Newell, we don't want to be in a position where we are literally kneecapping and destroying the next administration and making the child pay for the sins of the father, because that's essentially what's happening right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, you are in a way anyway. I mean, maybe not to the extent, right, that with these additional restrictions that would be had thus far, because when you look at, you know, the budget, and you're asking for $125 million, your tax revenue in the general fund's just over $500 million. So you're at about 20 to 22% of your entire tax budget that you're going to, you know, lock up. So it's going to beg.
You're 100% right.
It's going to beg a lot of cuts. And as I was listening to Liz Murrell, her feelings are is that, you know, basically the can is getting kicked down the road, and what's going to happen, you know, between now and then. Because as you know, it's a lot harder to create revenue enhancement as opposed to minimizing expenditures.
But no, her position fundamentally misunderstands where we are in our budget process. We're currently doing the budget for next year, and that budget is going to reflect the financial realities of next year. I want to be very clear. I want to talk about Liz Murrell for a second. Newell, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but not their own set of facts. She continues to have this narrative that the council is somehow in cahoots with the mayor of the city of New Orleans. Newell, you and I have been talking for 4 years. We've been fighting the mayor over transparency and accountability for 4 years. And I want to be very clear. While we have been sued in state court, going through the district court, the appellate court, Supreme Court, where was the brief from Liz Murrell in support of transparency, backing the council's play to have more fiscal transparency and more controls over the budget? What you have right now is someone who sees an opportunity. I don't know what she's running for next, Newell. I can only speculate. But when there was a jailbreak at the sheriff's office, the council worked with the attorney general on everything she wanted, including more transparency with the sheriff's office and financing. What changed between that working relationship and now? What changed is politics, because we have been fighting for years. The charter amendment that you and I have discussed for years, which I finally filed, because now I have the ability to do so because things are that dire, to lock the city budget and prevent deficit spending going forward. These are the transformative things that we are doing as a new council with the support of the new mayor to change the game forever. Rather than focus on helping us turn the page to move the city forward, because on January 12th, LaToya Cantrell will be gone. What you see is an opportunity by a singular, and I mean singular because she is out here by herself at this level, singular person trying to kick us in the teeth while we are down before a new mayor can come on and right the ship. Because the reality is next year's budget is going to be anemic. It is going to be an austerity budget reflecting the fact that we are going to go in with zero safety net. Because we're not able to go to the bond commission and pull that money down, no, we're going to have to tap the rainy day fund, which is going to leave the new mayor with no wiggle room going into hurricane season, because the attorney general has decided it's more important to get headlines and political points than be a partner. We are still willing to have conversations about what additional other things they want oversight over this money that, by the way, is not their money, but additional oversight to make everyone comfortable. But her position, the attorney general, is I don't want to work with you. I want to control you. And like I said, once you get that administrator in, you and I both know two of the three people on that fiscal advisory committee are one's running for Senate and one's running for something else. When you put a fiscal administrator over the city for an indeterminate amount of time, you have a person who runs the city of New Orleans. Two things are going to happen. One, all your potholes, all those calls you make to us, you're going to have to call Baton Rouge now and talk to them. And number two, it's about donors, Newell. If a donor decides, hey, I want to build my 17-story condo in the middle of the warehouse district next to the convention center, well, and they talk to someone who could tell the administrator to let it happen,
JP,
all of it's gone.
I think we're kind of getting out over our skis a little bit, because I would offer the following up. One, I go back to what you said before. I think there's a lot of value to bring everybody into the room and make it very clear as to what everybody's positions may be. I'm not ready to jump into the Machiavellian pool just yet, because I do believe there's a lot to hang. Everybody's got a lot to hang their hat on in the formulation of their own opinion, right? And when you talk about, you know, austerity budgets, it's like, well, I've heard that not in other, in context in other jurisdictions. And, you know, I always say, well, define austerity. What does that mean? You know, and there's going to be, I think that there's reluctance in the minds of some that we're going to be able to deal with this issue moving forward. And so it's going to be interesting to see. I think there's value in getting in the room. And what if we came to an agreement that the administrator was going to be Mike Wagesback? I think Mike, you would be in a tough decision to say no.
I would never be in a tough position to surrender the authority of the city for an indeterminate amount of time. I think that if you look at what we proposed, Newell, other than the plenary authorities to ignore the city charter, we passed yesterday essentially makes Mike Wagesback in charge of the $125 million to run government through the end of the year, which is a tremendous concession. But I agree. I mean, I will tell you, we've been here before. When Dutch Morial left and City Bartholomew came in with a budget hole, he furloughed everyone in city government. We can do that. And honestly, I don't see a universe in which government doesn't shrink next year. It has to. We lost.
No, y'all have no choice.
ARPA. All right. Yeah. So, I mean, there is certainly a path to right-size government, and we're going to have to as a council and new mayor. I think that the city has proven historically we can do that. But rather than being given the opportunity to do so, instead what you see is people taking the opportunity to try and take control of government for an indeterminate amount of time. But like I said, President Henry has been
I would only say this. What is your confidence level of the information that you have available today? As you look at the financial statements of the city of New Orleans, where would you assess your confidence level on a scale of one?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You must remember this is the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To 10. 10 being very confident.
As far as, like, generally speaking, I think it'd probably be like a 6. And I mean, to be clear,
when I'm looking at other people that are making judgments, and if the president of the council says that his confidence level in the financial statements that are being reported out of the city administration today is a 6, I just think that's a cause for concern, a big cause for concern. So, I try to put myself in other people's shoes. And I thought you gave it the number I thought you were going to give it, because that's pretty much the number I give it, about a 6. That's not a high level of confidence in these financial statements, especially after we've worked this thing for 4 weeks now. And as they stand today, a lot of people that know finances, they're probably going to give it around that same rating, a 6, which is it's a sad commentary, right? And I think that's what's driving a lot of these folks' concern. If I remove all of the other stuff, all the noise, and I look at it in a vacuum, that in and of itself, in my mind, justifies people saying, whoa, maybe we need to have, I don't know, I'm not saying it's got to go full Monty to the administrator, because I don't like that. So let me just throw that out. But it's got to be something in between. Right. Where there's an independent third party that's got their eye on this. And I can't think of anybody better than Mike Wagesback. I think he'll shoot it straight. He's done so thus far. He's exemplified that, moving forward. And if that's something that everybody could agree to, I think it'd be well worth everybody's while at the end of the day. And he's not going to go running around building buildings for people. That I can promise you, it's not going to happen.
Newell, he's got those other fiduciary obligations of being the legislative auditor. Let me add one thing. What I authored yesterday, to the point of me having a 6, is I authored a full deep dive, which the council voted for unanimously, to bring in Mike Wagesback and Ed Michelle to analyze the expenditures of the Cantrell administration from 2022 through current. Because like what you saw with the deficit, the numbers, the math didn't math. I have tremendous respect and I value Mike Wagesback as a partner. And I think he can be a tremendous partner and continues to be a partner in taking this city forward. But there's a difference between being a partner and being the boss. And I agree with you. I think that, like I said with President Henry, there is certainly an opportunity for cooler heads to prevail and for us to reach a compromise, because we do all have tremendous faith in Mike being a valuable partner in moving this forward. But what you're hearing from the Attorney General is not a partner.
No, I understand your concerns. I don't like that situation. I don't. I want to leave it there. I don't like that. I think getting in a room and getting smarter heads thinking emotional intelligence, we can craft something that everybody's going to feel good about. This, what you propose, goes, in my mind, two-thirds, if not 80% down the field. I mean, I think it's huge. I think y'all made huge concessions to this. And if someone can't say that this is a good faith effort, then they're just not being objective. And I would agree with everything else that you had to say at that point in time, right? But we got to get out to the break. So, JP, thank you so much for joining us. Great conversation. Always appreciate that with you. New Orleans City Council member and president of the council. Best of luck in this endeavor. Hopefully y'all able to get in that room sooner rather than later. Thank you, sir. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.